With Montana News, I'm Rachel Kramer. Republican state lawmakers said today they will seek to reduce government agency spending by $120 million, with cuts that would go much deeper than what Democratic Governor Steve Bullock proposes. That is, $74 million in cuts across state agencies, plus tax hikes and one-time transfers to balance the state budget and build its surplus to $300 million by 2019. Conrad Republican Lou Jones says his party members, who hold a legislative majority, are unlikely to go along with the governor.
Our current point where we see the world is that we don't believe the revenue enhancement section is potentially entirely real, given the makeup of the legislature.
Instead, Jones and Republican Representative Nancy Balance are targeting $120 million in spending cuts as a starting point for the two-year plan. The taxes collected by the state last year came in below expectations, while state spending rose. That is making it more challenging for state budget writers to meet the constitutional requirement for a balanced budget. The Montana Supreme Court has ruled that a voter-approved constitutional initiative known as Marcy's Law will take effect July 1st. The law is intended to expand crime victims' rights, but the initiative did not include an effective date, leading to a disagreement when election results were certified in December. The initiative's organizers and Attorney General Tim Fox argued the measure should take effect immediately. The ACLU of Montana and City and County Government Associations asked the state's high court to decide. Yesterday's unanimous Supreme Court decision says the constitutional amendment becomes effective on the first day of July unless the amendment states otherwise. I'm Rachel Kramer with Montana Public Radio.
With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. The U.S. House took a vote related to public lands yesterday that has Democrats and conservation groups crying foul. It's part of a larger rules package that would change how Congress calculates the value of federal public lands when it comes to transferring them to states. Right now, lawmakers have to take into account the value of revenue that public lands bring in, like from grazing or mineral leases, and then subtract that from government revenue if they want to transfer federal lands to states. The rules change would eliminate that accounting and say that land transfers are budget neutral. Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke voted for the rules package. He declined an interview request, and his office issued a six-word reply, quote, "Ryan Zinke's position has not changed," end quote. Zinke has repeatedly stated his opposition to the sale or transfer of public lands ownership to states, but in June, Zinke did vote for a House bill that would allow state leaders to manage some federal parcels as demonstration projects. Zinke is President-elect Donald Trump's pick for Secretary of Interior, pending Senate confirmation hearings. Following the House vote, Montana's Republican Senator Steve Daines said, quote, "I continue to strongly oppose the transfer of federal lands to the states." Democratic Senator John Tester called the vote, quote, "an underhanded assault on Montana's outdoor economy." Both the Montana Wilderness Association and Backcountry Hunters and Anglers expressed strong opposition to the House vote on the proposed rules change. Rob Quist is a familiar name in Montana. The Cut Bank native who now lives in the Flathead is famous as a songwriter and musician. Today, Quist said he now wants a job outside the arts.
"I'm running for Ryan Zinke's congressional seat."
That makes Quist the third Democrat to express interest in replacing Zinke, who's expected to be confirmed as Secretary of Interior in the Trump administration later this year.
"I haven't taken this decision lightly. The support I've been receiving about this has just been overwhelmingly positive."
Quist has served 11 years on the Montana Arts Council. He says his top issues include the low prices that farmers get for their crops, student loan debt, and health care. I'm Eric Whitney.
With Montana News, I'm Rachel Kramer. Over the next 2 days, lawmakers in Helena will consider a group of bills that could change how the state handles crimes of sexual assault. Corn Cates Carney reports.
The Senate Judiciary Committee will hear 5 bills aiming to redefine what the law considers as rape, as well as laws on sexual offender registration and crimes among minors and parents. Committee member Diane Sands, a Missoula Democrat, says one of the most important bills is one she's sponsoring, to update the definition of sexual consent.
"Which really is the definition that the U.S. military currently uses, which says that consent is a showing collectively of both actions and words that taken together indicate that you have agreed to whatever sexual activities involved."
When this bill was first brought up during the legislative interim, public defenders testified that changing the legal definition of rape could shift the burden of proof in sexual assault cases, making the accused prove consent was given. Supporters of the bill dismissed that claim. Senator Sands says if the bill is approved, it will result in more prosecutions of rape in Montana. The bill is scheduled for hearing on Friday. On Thursday, the Judiciary Committee will review a bill that could lighten penalties for sex among consenting minors, and a bill that could change how kids could be registered as sex offenders. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
A man who was acquitted of rape has been accused of threatening to kill the prosecutor in his case and the Bozeman police detective who led the investigation. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reports that 34-year-old Jared Kuntz has been charged with 2 counts of felony intimidation for threatening people involved with his case. I'm Rachel Kramer with Montana News.
With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. The State Child and Family Services Ombudsman has found that 14 Montana children died over a 16-month period despite reports of abuse or neglect filed with the state within the previous year. The Ombudsman's office found key red flags that caseworkers should be aware of in investigating reports. They include drug or alcohol use, previous abuse reports, and histories of domestic violence. The Ombudsman is recommending the legislature create a commission to more thoroughly review child deaths. Rob Quist is a familiar name in Montana. The Cut Bank native who now lives in the Flathead is famous as a songwriter and musician. Today, Quist said he now wants a job outside the arts.
I'm running for Ryan Zinke's congressional seat.
That makes Quist the 4th Democrat to express interest in replacing Zinke, who's expected to be confirmed as Secretary of the Interior in the Trump administration later this year. Quist says he was approached by people who asked him to consider running.
I haven't taken this decision lightly. The support I've been receiving about this has just been overwhelmingly positive.
Quist has served 11 years on the Montana Arts Council. He says his top issues include the low prices that farmers get for their crops, student loan debt, and health care. Amarina Lyons, a case manager at the Butte Rescue Mission, says the shelter is very busy now, with below zero temperatures lasting for days at a time.
Everyone knows to come here to get warm and to get fed. The hospital will send people here. The police bring people down here who aren't in trouble but need a place to stay for the night.
All of Montana's homeless shelters see upticks in demand for services during bitterly cold weather. The Montana Rescue Mission in Billings has sheltered at least 140 people a night this week alone. That's nearly double its nightly average. The Butte Rescue Mission typically doesn't allow clients to bring pets in its shelter. It does, however, partner with a local animal welfare group, which will care for pets of the mission residents. Amarina Lyons says the Butte shelter has so far not experienced any shortages of basic supplies. At the Capitol today, Democratic leadership failed to convince Republicans to give them some so-called silver bullets like they had the last legislative session. Corin Cates Carney explains.
In a Rules Committee meeting, Representative Jenny Eck asked Republicans for a tool that would allow them to move bills from a committee onto the House floor with a simple majority vote. It usually takes a supermajority, making it easier for a majority party to block bills they don't like.
We would like to see a similar arrangement to last session with 6 silver bullets on our side, 6 silver bullets with a majority.
Republicans voted along party lines to block the silver bullet addition to the House rules. Democrats used silver bullets several times during the last legislative session, including to help pass Medicaid expansion, which became law. When Republican Chairman Jeff Essman was asked if the success Democrats found in using the silver bullets last time influenced his vote, he said he voted against the rule because it will make the House floor more efficient and not gummed up with too many bills.
If there's an important bill needs to be heard on the floor, the legislator is free to work hard and get the 60 votes to get it out and get it heard.
The rules still need to be approved by the entire body of the House. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
City commissioners in Great Falls passed a resolution last night supporting the city and citizens of Whitefish. Nikki Willett reports.
Commissioner Bill Bronson read the proclamation to a packed house, stating Great Falls joins Montana's top elected leaders, the Whitefish City Council, and representatives of the broader faith community.
In denouncing hate, bigotry, and intolerance, which today masquerade under euphemisms such as white nationalism and the alt-right.
Several people and businesses in Whitefish have become the target of anti-Semitic online harassment, spurred on by a neo-Nazi website that claims it's defending the parents of emerging white nationalist leader Richard Spencer. At the Great Falls City Commission meeting Wednesday night, Alan Lanning read a letter to Mayor Bob Kelly from his 7-year-old daughter, Sophia.
Dear Mayor Jim, we don't want bullies in Whitefish. Love, Sophia.
People in Whitefish have organized a Love Not Hate rally this Saturday to celebrate diversity. I'm Nikki Ouellette, Montana Public Radio.
Some of the coldest temperatures of this already bitterly cold week are forecast over the next 12 to 24 hours. Edward O'Brien reports on how homeless shelters are trying to help Montana's most vulnerable during this weather emergency.
The two homeless shelters operated by Montana Rescue Mission in Billings go into overdrive when the mercury dips below zero. According to Mission spokeswoman Denise Smith, each shelter typically houses an average of 70 to 80 people a night. Those numbers almost double in sub-zero weather.
We'll accommodate anybody that we need to accommodate. We don't want anybody dying or freezing on the street.
Smith says Montana Rescue Mission practices what it calls code blue protocols during extremely cold weather.
Normally, we are a sober living facility, but in code blue status, we allow anybody off of the street to have a warm place to stay.
The Butte Rescue Mission has a similar policy, but any drug users seeking shelter from the cold who cause a disturbance are taken to the county jail. They won't face charges, but are only there to ensure everyone's safety. Back in Billings, the Montana Rescue Mission's Denise Smith says frostbite is always a risk for the homeless in the winter.
Oh yeah, it happens all the time.
Montana Rescue Mission is handing out lots of donated coats, hats, and gloves, even bus passes for shelter residents who don't have a car but need to safely get to work. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.